Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Very often when a doctor needs to make a good deep diagnosis, he has to take a look at your insides. Thankfully, we've come a long ways in medical technology from those days when they had to do exploratory surgery. I mean, even the term gives me the creeps. Exploratory surgery. They literally cut you open and dig around and look to see what's going on inside you and then close you up again. They explore your insides. That's, by the way, how surgery was invented. Curiosity. Cut them open. See how this works. Thanks be to God, things have progressed far beyond that sort of thing. Today, there are a variety of means at your physician's disposal. Everything from sonograms to x-rays to all sorts of high-resolution CAT scans and MRIs that can deliver a picture of actually what's going on inside of you without having to cut you open. That's what's going on today in Luke's gospel, or in today's gospel from Matthew, this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is taking the law into his own hands. He's taking the commandments literally into his own mouth. And he is explicating them in such a way that you, hearing him, get a good look at your insides. There's a line from a famous Lutheran hymn that goes this way: the law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light that lurks within our nature. We can't really see the sin that lurks in our hearts, and so Jesus has to put us in this kind of divine MRI tube of the law. He's giving us a CAT scan of our internal spiritual condition. Not simply what goes on with our hands and with our eyes. You can gouge those out and chop those off if you need be. But what goes on in our hearts, you can't do much about that. Not simply the external symptoms that we religiously call sins, but the internal condition called sin that necessitates our being baptized into Christ, our being born again from above. It's not just the outward actions Jesus is talking about here, but the inward orientation and attitude of the heart. Our concern is always with the outward stuff, and that's natural because that's what we can see and feel and experience for ourselves. How do we look to others? How are we acting toward others? How do we measure up? And if we're living pretty generally decent lives, we imagine that we are doing pretty well, spiritually speaking. We're essentially symptom-free. But being symptom-free doesn't mean you don't have the disease. It just means that you're not showing it at the present moment. People don't have cancer the minute the doctor says they have cancer, or the minute they have some tumor growing out of their head. That's not when you probably had cancer for years before then. You just didn't know it. You were symptom-free. If you were to look at your heart from God's perspective, if you were to be able to see spiritually on your insides, you would see things that would utterly shock you. They'd amaze you. You'd be horrified. What you'd see would be murder and lies and theft and adultery and immorality and greed and lust and idolatry and hatred and envy and prejudice and pride, all sorts of stuff. It's all lurking there in our hearts in the form of this disease called sin, with a capital S, sin. The outward sins that we do, the words we say, the actions that we do, that all begins with sin lurking deep within our hearts. We can't see that. It has to be revealed to us by some spiritual scan, an MRI from God, from above, so to speak. The law pushed deeply. To push the analogy a bit further, even if you have an X-ray or an MRI and you got to look at it, you probably wouldn't recognize what it was you were looking at anyway. When my wife Karen had her back problem, she had an MRI done of her spine, and the surgeon showed us the MRI, you know, put it up there so we could see it on the screen. And there they were, her two compressed discs that were causing her all the problems. But you see, had the surgeon not pointed that out, we wouldn't have seen it. We wouldn't have known what to look at. It just kind of looks like a spine. You know, it's like, okay, that's nice. And he goes, look there. Do you see that? Compare that to that. Look at how that is. Oh, that looks bad. See, but he had to point that out. Or, you know, when the doctor says, we looked at your CAT scan and we found a suspicious spot. And he shows you and you look at it and it looks like a bug just kind of got on the film or something like that. So that's not a suspicious spot. That's a chunk of dust. He goes, no, no. See, the trained and focused eye knows what to look for, something that you and I would not normally see and overlook. And likewise, even having this inner look at the law is not enough because our eyes are blind because of sin. Even if we're staring at our sin face to face, we're not prone to recognize it. We just think it's just human behavior. Hey, we're just being human. You know, what do you want? And that's why we need this word of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount here. See, over and over again, Jesus delivers the divine diagnosis with his own authority. But I say to you, Jesus has no need to refer you to a specialist. He is the specialist. His specialty is death and life and sin and grace. Jesus knows sin when he sees it. And he sees it to the depths of your own heart with the full force of his I say to you. Now, you know, who is he to talk like this? You've heard all the experts before me, but I say to you. He doesn't reference a single authority before him. In fact, he seems to overturn all the authorities who came before him, those men of old who taught these things to you with your traditions and their wisdom. But their diagnosis was too superficial, too shallow. They looked only at the outward actions, and they thought that by doing these things, they were keeping the commandments of God, and they were doing the righteousness of God, and they were earning their way into the kingdom of heaven, or at least bringing the kingdom of heaven to them. Now, I'm not saying that that wouldn't be a good start. It is a great start. You can only imagine a world where there's no murder, no adultery, no divorce, a world where debts were reconciled quickly and peaceably, where everybody just simply spoke the plain and honest truth to one another. They let their yes be yes, their no be no. You wouldn't need policemen. You wouldn't need prisons. You wouldn't need courts. You wouldn't need judges. You wouldn't need lawyers. What a world. Sorry, Andrew, but I mean, it's the way it is. Our attorney in the jury box over there. That's and yet, even in a world that externally and outwardly ran perfectly according to the outward law of God written in our hearts, the law that every human being has available to him or her, it would still be not enough. It would still not be heaven on earth. The condition is still there. We would be essentially symptom-free, but we would not be disease-free. And sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, the symptoms of sin lying in our hearts would emerge with that first angry word, that first lustful look, that first little lie. It's there. No amount of external discipline can change the inward ways of the heart. Oh, go ahead, cut off that offending hand, like Jesus said. You still have to deal with the other hand. Go ahead and poke out that offending eye that keeps glancing at internet pornography. Sure, you still have the other eye to contend with. And while it's certainly preferable to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye and one hand, rather than being thrown whole hog into hell, cutting off hands and poking out eyes won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. The entry ticket is this: unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds the religious traditions taught by men, unless your righteousness flows from a heart that is uncorrupted by sin, then the kingdom of heaven is closed to you. You cannot enter it. That's the deep diagnosis, and the old Adam in us does not like it one bit. And you know what you do when you don't like the diagnosis, don't you? What do? You get a second opinion. Yep. The world of religion is full of second and third opinions, of quack cures, of superficial treatments. And when you get a second opinion, which one do you often go with? The easier one, the happier one, the more optimistic one, the one that says, oh, don't worry, that's nothing to worry about. I think that would make a great inscription on a gravestone. The doctor said it was nothing to worry about. Which would you rather take, chemotherapy or a sugar pill? Which would you rather hear, the condition's terminal or there's nothing to worry about? So much of what passes as religion is a sugar pill, a salve, a Band-Aid, a second opinion that says, oh, that's nothing to worry about. Trust good Dr. Jesus on this one. He's an expert on you. He knows your humanity better than you know your humanity. He knows the spiritual condition of your heart much better than you do. He can read the details of the law's MRI. The condition is terminal, the condition is damnable, and the condition is incurable. You may not have murdered anybody, but you've harbored the thought, the hatred, the anger, the road rage. It all goes down the same road. Your circuit breakers are just working, that's all. You may be faithful to your marriage vows, but your eyes and your heart have wandered. You may be truthful, but the truth always comes with a little spin, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that when we tell fish stories and we caught the fish is always a little bit bigger? When we tell about what I said when I talked to him, we always sound a little bit more authoritative, a little bit more brilliant, a little bit more whatever it is we want to be. We're liars. The diagnosis, you're a sinner. Not because of what you do, not because of what you say, not even because of what you think, but because of this condition in your heart called sin. It's fatal. The wages of sin is death. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no religious trick, no spiritual discipline, nothing in your little bag of religious tricks that's going to change a heart infected by sin. But here's the good news. Listen to Dr. Jesus. The cure's been worked. It's been done to death on a Good Friday between 9 and 3. When the same Jesus who is speaking this harsh diagnosis of the law hangs on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins and literally to become our sin. He became the disease. He became sin for us who did not know sin, so that in him and by him we might become the righteousness of God. I know it sounds strange, it sounds bizarre even, but this disease of sin is unlike any other disease that afflicts us. All of our diseases, the ones we fear, cancer, clogged arteries, whatever, those only affect the body. They cannot harm the soul. But sin affects body and soul and threatens both with hell. It goes right down to the core of our humanity, and it calls for drastic measures, extreme measures, so extreme that the Son of God came to us as a human being. He became man. He was born without this disease, without this sin. And he took this invader of our humanity into himself, and he died with it to put it to death. He conquered it by dying, and he conquered it by rising. And you must die and rise with him if you are to be healed of this disease. You won't find the cure for sin in self-discipline, in religious traditions, in commandment-keeping, in reading books, in anything that you can do. The cure for sin is in dying and rising with Jesus, being joined to him in baptism, which you witnessed today, being joined to him in the eating and the drinking of his death and his life, his body and his blood in his supper, hearing the word of forgiveness that drowns sin in you. Moses said it, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Death and evil in our hearts infected with sin, life and good in Jesus who came to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God and enter the kingdom of heaven. There is hope for every sinner. There is hope for you, the sinner. Trust good Dr. Jesus and live in his death and resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen."
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.